and help to build our faith. Let's just let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you're a God whose default response is to bless. Lord, that when you created the earth and the heavens, Lord, you said everything was good, but you still blessed it. Lord, when you brought Adam and Eve together, Lord, it was good, but you still blessed them. And so, Lord, we see throughout scriptures that you are God who comes to bless. And so, Lord, even as we look into your word, I pray you might continue to open our hearts, continue to open our minds, continue to give us revelation and insights. Continue, O God, to lead us into that path of victory. Continue, O God, to shatter the lies of the devil. Continue to glorify yourself in us and through us. Father, I pray that this morning again you might speak to us. This morning again, you might sit beside each one of us and whisper the word that we need to hear in our own hearts. Father, I pray that no one will leave here without hearing from you. Lord, speak through me, but Lord, if needs be, speak apart from me. But Lord, let your people hear from you this morning, I pray, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said, amen. And amen. I'm hoping to conclude this series this morning by focusing on what I've called the greater blessings, because all blessings are not in the same category. In Genesis 24 and verse 1, this is what it says in the NIV. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. And as I reflect on that verse over the last several weeks, it dawned on me that it says he was blessed in every way, which suggests that there are all different spheres and dimensions to our lives. And God wants us to experience his blessing in every one of those spheres, whether it be in your mental, your mind, whether it be psychological, whether it be in your family, whether it be at work, whether it be in your health, whether it be in your finances, whatever sphere of life, I believe God wants us to experience his blessing. And Abraham becomes that prototype for us. And what God did for Abraham, he wasn't just like, well, I'm just going to treat Abraham as unique. But he placed it in scripture for us to see that as his heart's desire. For us to be blessed in every era and every sphere of our lives. And so that's the idea behind this. And that all the blessings then are not necessarily equal. That there's some that are greater than others. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. This is what Paul says as he writes to the Ephesian church. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So what Paul is here saying is that the Father has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Not just, you know, one or the other, but every spiritual blessing the Father's already placed there for us in the heavenly realms. And so you and I just need to go in and lay hold of these spiritual blessings, appropriate them in our lives, and walk in them. Every spiritual blessing. So we're not trying to get something that God has not already given to us. What we're trying to do is to lay hold of what God has already provided for us. It's like having a pantry full of food or a fridge full of food, and you just need to go in there and take it. It's yours. It's mine. And not to sit there and wonder, well, Lord, why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing that? When God is like, I've already provided that for you. You just need to lay hold of it and walk in it. And so that's the idea behind this. But last week, we didn't get to finish some of the ways that God blesses us. So I'll talk about some of these ways and then come back to talk about the spiritual blessings, which I believe are the greater blessings, because the spiritual things are the things that last for eternity, the things that can actually transform our natural environment. And so last week we shared that in addition to having blessings imparted to us through our fathers, through our grandfathers, through older siblings, through spiritual leaders, by our own laying hold of God as Jabez did, that there are other ways. We made mention of honoring our fathers and our mothers. And by that, we're talking about those who the Lord used to raise us. Not necessarily those who just gave birth to us, but might have abandoned you. No, he's talking about those who play that role in our lives, that we should honor them. And when we do that, he says that your life, you'll have a long life, and things will go well with you in the earth. And so here in the notes, I just highlighted some other things, that if we seek to develop the attributes that I mentioned there in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that word there is in the present tense. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's not waiting until you die to lay hold of it. But what Jesus was saying on the sermon there is that if you have this idea that you need God, blessed are the poor in spirit. The word poor means to realize you are needy. You lack some stuff. And so spiritually realize you lack. And the only place where you can get that lack met is in God. And so you're relying upon God. You're dependent upon God. You're crying out to God. Jesus says, the person who's like that, God will give to them the kingdom. The kingdom will break through into their lives and into their circumstances. And they'll see the power of God at work here and now in this life. And so if we'd learn to develop these attributes, to mourn and to grieve over the conditions around us, then the God says he'll come and comfort us and strengthen us and undergird us. And that's a whole series in itself, so I don't want to, you know, get myself carried away with that. But just to mention that to us. And then several times in the Old Testament, in Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse those who curse you. And he repeats it to Jacob and he repeats it to the people of Israel that he's going to bless those who bless them and curse those who curse them. And so I believe one of the ways to receive the blessings of God is to bless the people that God has already blessed. It doesn't mean that these people do everything perfectly or everything is right that they do, but there's an attitude we should have towards blessing the people of God. Another way to receive God's blessing is by giving generously. In Malachi 3, this is what the Lord says, Malachi 3 verse 10. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that they may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you will not have room enough for it. And so the Lord promises that when people give to him generously, he is going to pour out such a blessing that they can't contain it. And verse 11 says, and I will prevent the pest from devouring your crops. One version says, I rebuke the devourer. In other words, God becomes active on our behalf and rebukes the enemy so that we can experience the fruit of our labor. And it says, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. And when God does this, the Lord says, then all nations will recognize the blessing of God and will call you blessed. For yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. I think we underestimate what God does when we are generous in our giving. You see, Jesus said in Luke 6 that, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will God pour into your bosom. You can't contain it. And somehow, the way we've been brought up to be, well, just barely give to the Lord and, you know. But no, give generously. And I think I shared here about my daughter who lives in Kansas City that she's there at college and so we are supporting her. And so, and I transfer money to her account each month. And lo and behold, because, you know, it's a joint account, I can see how she gives. And I can see how she spends my money. Yeah. And so I'm looking and I'm seeing each month she's giving to her church. And I'm thinking to myself, I've already paid a tithe on that. So I said to her, Lydia, you really don't have to give again because I've already paid a tithe on that. And her response is, Daddy, you can't outgive God. And so as she gives, I'm also reaping all the benefits of that. and it comes back to us pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so we need to have that attitude that you can't outgive God, and not to be stingy, but to give freely to the Lord. And as you all know in this church, I don't preach much on giving because most of the people in this church are very generous. Very, very generous people. And I've heard testimonies after testimonies of people who have been blessed out there by people in this church. Giving or helping the poor is another way to experience God's blessing. Proverbs 22 verse 9 says, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. And so when we give to the poor, basically one proverb says you're lending to God, and God is no man's debtor. And so God releases a blessing back to us because we are sharing his heart and his spirit and his love with those who are in need. And then it goes on there, I talk about being faithful to the Lord. Faithfulness, God promises, he says in Proverbs 28 verse 20, a faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. In other words, we're not chasing after riches. We're seeking to be faithful to the Lord, and God meets our needs. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 6. He says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and God takes care of everything else. And so when we are faithful to the Lord, faithful in serving him, faithful in being obedient to him, God blesses us left, right, and center. And people wonder what's happening, and all we can say is a blessing of Almighty God. Then I make mention there of unity, because in Psalm 133 it says that where the people of God come together in unity, God releases the anointing like it flows down from Aaron's head right down his beard to the hem of his garment. And it goes on to say the Lord releases his blessing when there's unity. And that's a corporate blessing, I believe, a corporate manifestation of God's power and God's provision. And then the last one I have there is to associate with godly people. This sounds strange, doesn't it? Sounds weird. But when Jacob worked for Laban, Laban was a crafty person who changed his salary 10 different times. He was by no means the most honest of persons. But despite what Laban did, God still blessed Jacob every time. So much so, it says, Laban says, I have discerned. I've come to realize, you know, Jacob, that I am blessed because of you. And so I believe that when we employ godly people, when we get involved and hang around godly people, something happens. God just causes their blessing to come and impact our lives. And by the way, parents, if you are godly, your children will receive blessing. I think I'm walking in God's blessing because I had some faithful grandparents. And my grandfather or great-grandfather died. There's a family Bible that says that the entire neighborhood, put the neighborhood of Shortwood mourned the death of this man of God. And when I saw it, I said, man, I'm going to claim that I am a descendant of this man of God. Therefore, the blessings of God should follow me. And I walk in God's blessings, and I'm not ashamed to tell the world that I'm blessed of God. I'm blessed of God. It's not because I'm so nice. It's not because I'm so good. It's all because of God's grace and God's goodness. And I give him all the honor and give him all the glory. But as I said before, there are some blessings which are greater than others. And I believe the spiritual blessings are far more significant than the natural material blessings. And so Abraham was blessed in every way, including spiritually. So in Galatians chapter 3, the Lord writes, well, Paul writes to the Galatian church, and he says in verse 7, understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And so there are blessings that come to us because of faith. Verse 14 of Galatians 3 says, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. So there are blessings of faith that come to us because we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. And we walk with Christ, and therefore God releases his blessings into our life. The spiritual blessings. Paul goes on to say that there's a promise of a spirit to be released to us because of our faith in Christ. We can be called sons and daughters of Abraham, children of the God who works in us and through us. In Galatians 4, he says that God has released his spirit in us, and now the spirit inside of us cry out, Abba, Father. No, you and I are sons and daughters of God. All because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We're not just saved, but God has now incorporated us into his family, and he has released his spirit into your life and into my life. The spirit that cries out, Abba, Father, brings us into intimacy, gives us revelation as what it is to have God as our Father. That's far more important than any material things. And not only to have him as our Father, but it goes on to say, if we are sons, if we are mature children of God, then we are also heirs of the Father. In other words, an heir is somebody who's put in a place of responsibility. Somebody who cares about the Father's business. Somebody who acts on the behalf of the Father. And Jesus Christ says in Romans 8 that we are joint heirs with Jesus. Jesus, when he was 12, understood that he was called by the Father. And when his parents were looking for him, he was like, why are you looking for me? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? From age 12, he realizes that he's called to function, to fulfill his Father's agenda. And so you and I, as children of the Most High God, we are called to function as heirs of the Father. And he has given us authority to fulfill that role. And I have shared here before that the picture we can get sometimes if you look at the royal family in England. You know, Queen Elizabeth, you know, one of the things they pray usually for the king or the queen is, long live the queen, long live the king. And it seems like she's going to live forever. And poor Charles has been there waiting year after year after year. But you realize that Charles and his children, they're still functioning as heirs, and they're still functioning with authority. And wherever they go, they're treated as royalty, because they are. And it's the same thing for you and for me, that as children of the Most High God, wherever we go, the enemy recognizes that we're children of God, and we've been given authority to act on the behalf of our Father and to see our Father's kingdom being extended in the earth. So I'm not just an ordinary child, as I shared before, that, you know, you have children, and there are different words in the Greek. You have the word that refers to a little infant who doesn't know him or herself. But then the word that is used in Galatians and in Romans is a word for the mature child of God who understands who they are and function and represent the kingdom. And that's a spiritual blessing that you and I have been given. We have been brought into true freedom. And Paul says, if for freedom Christ has set us free, then no longer allow yourself to be brought under the yoke of bondage. So because we are children of God, because of the work of Christ, we are entitled to walk in freedom. We're entitled to have every bondage broken off our lives. No need to hear voices from the past that are condemning us. God has not given us a spirit of condemnation, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Let's add two scriptures together there if you don't realize it. Timothy and Romans. In Timothy, Paul says to Timothy that I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. In Romans, Paul says, you know, we have not been given, we have to walk according to the law of the spirit of death, but the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But that's what we have been given. The spirit to walk in freedom and to bring freedom to the lives of others. Friends, don't accept the lies of the devil. My goodness, the devil is a liar from the beginning. That's what the Bible says. And as Abraham was called a friend of God, Jesus says the same thing about us in John, that we are friends of God. He says, you're no longer slaves. I mean, it's great just to be a slave of God. How many of you realize that? That's the idea in the prodigal son. The prodigal son says, I'd rather be a slave in my father's house than to be out here eating and fighting with pigs. But when he went back home, the father says, no, you're not a slave. You come back into the kingdom as a son, and as a son of authority. Put on back the ring, put on back your robe, and you walk in authority. And so Jesus says, we are friends of God, which means that you and I have access to the Father. We should spend time with the Father, as that word came last week, like the blessing of Benjamin, to spend time on the breast of the Father, to hear his heart's desire. For him to whisper to us and share his concerns with us, so you and I can act on his behalf. Because friends know what friends are doing. At least true friends, that is. And so that's why he called Abraham his friend. And share with Abraham, listen, I'm about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham could now intercede on behalf of those two cities. And then part of his promise to Abraham and to the Jews was land. Now land really means provision in those days. If you don't have land in those days, you're in trouble. And so the promise to us is that God says, I will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. That's Philippians. And so when you and I are busy about the Father's business, he takes care of all of our needs. The psalmist says, he was young and now he's old. Help me. How many of you know it? Only you know it? I think they know it, but they don't want to say it. He says, I was young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And I claim that for myself. God says he'll never forsake the righteous and his children will not need to beg bread. It's a curse if the children have to end up begging bread. And the curse is talk about the children being taken into captivity, which can include things like drugs. But I'm claiming the word of God that says that the children of the righteous are blessed. And so I'm believing God that my children will walk in even greater blessings than I'm walking in. Because of the goodness of Almighty God. And then we have the blessing of Christ. Romans 15. Romans 15 verse 29. Paul says, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. The full measure, not some partial measure. The full measure of the blessings of Christ. And as I read that, I'm like, Lord, I need to understand more about this blessing of Christ. I don't just want to live my life and then at the end of my life, I realize that I only had half of what Christ had in store for me. I want everything, the full measure of the blessing of Christ. And Paul highlights some of those right there in Romans 15. In Romans 15 verse 13, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's part of the blessing of Christ, is to have this overflow of hope in our lives. Because we know who we have believed. It's a transforming work of God inside of us. Paul says, I myself am convinced, my brother, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, competent to instruct one another. God works in us to change us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. He sets us free, brings us into victory. Paul says he is called to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with priestly duties of proclaiming the gospel of God so the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And so because of the blessing of Christ, you and I can stand as priests before the Father. You and I can stand and proclaim this good news, the gospel of the kingdom. You and I can be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. What a blessing. To know that the Spirit of God comes inside of you and comes inside of me and helps me to walk and live this holy life and breaks off of me the things that are unholy. And when you look back, you can say, wow, you know, I used to struggle with that and I don't even know what happened, but somewhere along the line, that thing was broken off me because of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. That's part of what was being said this morning through the prophetic word. The Lord was trying to say to people, one, he wants to wash them like soap, like a fuller soap. And the other one was struggling. God was like, release those things so that I can sanctify you and make you whole. The sanctifying work. And I can tell you, friends, you can go to all sorts of therapists and all sorts of people, but there's only some things that the Spirit of God can do. And sanctification is one of those things. Paul says now in Romans 15, verse 17, therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power, the dunamis of the Spirit of God. And so Paul is saying the part of the blessing of God is to be able to see the miraculous power of God at work in us and through us. I'm not interested in a gospel or in serving a God that is just all in the mind, pure intellect. I'm interested in serving a God where the power of God is manifest and people can see the miraculous of God at work. I mean, what's the difference between arguing mentally with some other religion and this religion? What I want to see is God's work where the sick are healed and the people who are oppressed are set free by the power of Almighty God. That's how Christianity began in the work of Jesus Christ and was continued by the apostles. And God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And so because of that, this is part of the spiritual blessings that God has already given to us as you and I need to just lay hold of. Lord, you promised us that we're going to walk with power. You promised us we're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We're going to cast out spirits and people shall be free. Lord, I'm believing you for that and I'm walking in that. I'm going to experience that in my life. We're talking about spiritual blessings. We're talking about the greater blessings. And the world needs to see a people who are walking in the greater blessings. And that's what Paul says. He didn't preach a gospel that was just based upon people's ability to understand or to argue. But God confirmed the gospel with signs and wonders. And so he says, so from Jerusalem all the way to Iconium, I fully proclaim the gospel of Christ with signs and wonders following. We're talking about living this kingdom life. Paul says in Romans 14 that the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Experiencing the power of God. Christ says, if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. It's a different way of living and of experiencing the inbreaking of God into our life and into our circumstances. And so my eyes are set upon the things which are unseen. I've set my affections on the things above. I'm not so much interested in the material things because those things will come as I seek first his kingdom. And then we have the blessing of the Lord himself. Proverbs 10 and verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and addeth no sorrow. And many people look at that and think of it primarily in material terms. But I'm here to encourage us to look beyond the material and to see the spiritual blessings of God that God brings into our life to cause experience the best that he has for us. In Deuteronomy, the Lord said to his people, listen, when I bring you into the promised land, I'm going to give you the ability, the power to make wealth. And so when you get rich, don't forget it was I who gave you that ability. In other words, even the ability to experience material gain, we should recognize it comes from God himself. It's not because we're so smart. It's not because we work so hard. It's because of God's goodness and God's grace. Because lots of people work hard. Lots of people do all sort of stuff and they still struggle. But it's God who comes alongside us and causes us to experience his breakthrough. It's walking with the shalom of God. The peace of God that impacts every sphere of our life. That's what Moses, that's what Aaron's sons, that was a blessing that they released upon Israel. For his peace to come upon them. That's why they always greet each other with peace. It's a blessing to experience God's shalom, God's well-being in every aspect of our lives. I believe it's getting to know the ways of the Lord. Moses cried out to the Lord. Moses had seen all sorts of miracles. Moses had spent 40 days in God's presence. But Moses wasn't satisfied. Moses says, Lord, if I've found favor on your side, show me your glory. Lord, I want to see more. I want to experience more. But Moses have new seen the Red Sea parted, yeah, but I want to see more. I want to experience more of God. I want more of him. That's my inheritance. That's my portion. And you and I have that same privilege to experience as much of God as we want. We can just go into his presence and say, Lord, show me more, teach me more, give me more. And God will respond to that type of cry. God will respond to that type of prayer. Let me just share for a few more minutes some hindrances to receiving the blessings of God. Because God has given us these blessings, but we're not always walking in them. And in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, Lord made it clear, if you go after these other gods, you're not going to get the blessings. Instead, you're going to experience God's curses. Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, you can't serve two gods. You can't serve God and mammon. So you might as well make up your mind who you're going to serve. If you're going to serve mammon, then you can work hard as you want, but you're not going to experience the spiritual blessings that are there for you to experience. Or you can seek first the kingdom of God, go after the Lord with all of your heart, and God will you'll experience the breakthrough of God in your life and in your circumstances, and the material stuff will also come. It's like a win-win circumstance. But if we seek first the material things, if we make material things, as it were, our idol, then that's going to prevent us from experiencing the blessings of God in different spheres of our lives. And if we dare to reject God's word and try to distort God's word and try to reinterpret it so that it makes us feel good, then we're going to forfeit God's blessings. Unfortunately, that's what the church has done many, many times. Rather than call sin sin, we try and explain it away. Now, if it is wrong, just forsake it and just live the way God has called us to live. Right now on Tuesdays, we are looking at curses. And one of the things we realize is that a curse, what it does, it negates a blessing or limits the full potential that we should experience from blessing. And so if you look at your life and you see certain aspects of your life, certain spheres of your life where rather than the blessings of God, you have the curses. And it could be the curse preventing you from experiencing what God wants you to experience. So you look at different spheres of your life. You're working hard, you're giving to the Lord, but you're still financially, you're still in debt, you're still struggling, and you're not being unfaithful, you're not just being, not being indisciplined, or you're spending your money, but you're still not making ends meet. So you look at that and you see that, and you look at different spheres in your life, and you can look at perhaps your job, and you're always being overlooked for promotion, and you look at different things, then maybe there's a curse that needs to be broken. And this week, Tuesday, we're going to be dealing with the breaking of curses on Tuesday night, praying for people to set them free. And we have shared our testimony, my wife and I, before, about how we were infertile, couldn't have a child, for 11 years, until God showed us to the curse, and we prayed and broke the curse, and within 3 weeks my wife was pregnant. So I don't know where your theology is, but I'm just telling you what I've experienced. That a curse, because in God's scheme of things, being able to have a child is part of God's blessing. And in that sphere of our life, we were fine, all right, in the other spheres. Financially, we were okay. But in this sphere, that curse was preventing us from experiencing God's blessing there. And I didn't know. I didn't have a theology at that time that embraced curses. I'm going to be honest with you. It wasn't a part of my, in terms of how it could affect us. I could see it working with unbelievers. But for me, who have repented, I couldn't see it until God, as it were, put me in a corner. And that's for another time. But a curse can prevent you from experiencing God's blessings. And then simply doubt and unbelief. Because the blessings of God are to be laid hold of by faith. And so the devil comes and he tells us all sorts of lies. And it causes doubt and unbelief to spring up inside of our hearts and we can't believe God. And There's so much here. But Wednesday night, as we were looking at the Isaiah chapter 36 and 37, you know, one of the things we saw was that when the enemy was coming against Judah, the enemy came and told them a bag of lies. One of the lies the enemy said to them is, listen, don't resist because God has sent us to conquer you. You understand? You're about to lose. You might as well surrender because God has sent us. And the enemy tells us all sort of lies. Things are not going right in your life. And they tell us, God send it. God didn't send all of those things into your life. It's the enemy who's at work. Because if you believe God has sent all of these difficulties into your life, all of these sicknesses, then just embrace the sickness. Then say, Lord, more, more, more. But the enemy has lied to us, saying, God has given you this. And so we don't understand. The enemy refused to recognize Hezekiah as king. The same lies the devil come and tell you. You're nobody. All those promises are for other people. It's for the pastor. But not for you. Well, let me tell you something. Every promise in the Bible is for each child of God. Your royalty. Your kings. Your priests. Your prophets of the Most High God. Your sons and daughters. Heirs of the Father. You are loved. You are more than a conqueror. Believe those things. Walk in those things. And you see the victory of God in your life. Amen. So stop believing the lies of the devil. Jesus says of his disciples, those who believe in him, they will continue in my word. And they shall know the truth. And the truth shall set them free. Not the lies. The lies keep us in bondage. The truth sets us free. And so if you believe a lie, it's going to hinder you from laying hold of the blessings of Almighty God. It's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that builds faith and allows us to lay hold of these things and to walk in them. And if you don't want to believe it, that's your choice. As we said in Deuteronomy, the Lord says, I put before you blessing and curse, life or death. Choose. But I'm choosing to believe it. I only have one life to live. And I'd rather live this life believing God than to live it in doubt and unbelief and hopelessness and fear. I'm going to believe God, that God's word is true, and let everything else be a lie. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. And then we can live our life in legalism. You know, in Galatians, Paul wrote to the Galatian church and says, you guys began in the spirit and began by faith. God was doing all sorts of miracles in your midst. And now you're trying to perfect this Christian life by rules and laws and do's and don'ts. All those things do is rob you of the joy of the Lord. God has called us to live by the Spirit of God and to be led by the Spirit. And he who is led by the Spirit will fulfill God's will and purposes and will by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh. But if we seek to live by all of these laws and all of these do's and don'ts, it's going to prevent you from experiencing the blessings of Almighty God. Let us stand. And then the last thing I have there is a scripture that comes out of Deuteronomy, where the Lord said to them, you should serve me with joyfulness and gladness of heart. God has been so good to us, and he's saying to the Jews and to us, serve me with joyfulness and gladness of heart, and you'll experience more and more of your Father's provision. But the Jews, they didn't. And so in Deuteronomy, the Lord says, because he didn't serve me with gladness of heart, because he didn't serve me with joy, I'm going to cause the enemy to come in, and you're going to experience all sort of havoc in your life. But Christianity was meant to be lived with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy of the Lord is supposed to be our strength. We are not supposed to be people with our faces all twisted over because things are so rough. Rather, we should, even difficulties come, James says what? Count it all joy. The difficulties come and I say, devil, bring it on. Because I know I'm moving from one place of faith to the next. Bring it on because I know at the end of this, there's victory. Bring it on because I know that God's about to work some things inside of me. The joy of the Lord is your strength and my strength. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Friends, God has called us, 1 Peter 3 verse 9, to inherit a blessing. All the way from Genesis through Revelation, you see that God is a God who blesses. If you're in this house this morning and you're saying, Joe Campbell, I've wandered from the Lord. And I want to recommit myself to Him this morning, this God of blessing. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody who needs to or wants to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning. And then I want to give an open invitation. I realized last week that for some people, it might have been difficult for them to respond. And so this week, I want to give an open invitation. If you want prayer for a blessing of God to be released in one or more spheres of your life, for whatever reason, I'm going to invite you to come forward and we're going to pray and release a blessing. Anybody, if you recognize in your life that there's a sphere, this area, or perhaps you didn't get the blessing that you should have gotten from your parents when you were younger or even older, I'm going to invite you just to come forward this morning.
For your grace, for your presence, that you're a God who blesses. And you have called us to be blessed. And so, Lord, I pray for us as we leave this place, oh God, that your blessings would rest upon us. And Father God, as we would seek your face, Lord, we might experience even the greater blessings, the blessings of your very presence, being bearers, carriers of your presence, sensing your anointing upon us, seeing your power at work in us and through us, seeing lives transformed, seeing the miraculous. Father, I declare, O God, we are blessed in coming, we are blessed in going, we are blessed at home, we are blessed at work. Lord, we are blessed in the city, we are blessed in the country. And whatever we put our hands to, O God, is blessed, and that you get all the glory. Father, we silence every accusing tongue of the enemy. And Lord, we declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, we declare, O God, that we shall behold the goodness of God in the land of the living. And that only goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Lord, we declare these blessings of ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, and amen. You are dismissed.